Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Get all the technical gear started. Okay, we're on. Okay.
Let me open us in a word of prayer. Almighty God, thank you for this opportunity, particularly for me, to share with others what I feel like you've taught me over the last years, and ask for just wisdom, be guided by the Holy Spirit, and to just make a good presentation, make it an understandable scripture. Let the scripture speak for itself, Lord, and just guide me through this time. Thank you, Almighty God, for this church and the Bible teachings that are provided here, and should be able to guide us to where we need to be. Thank you for the songs that prepare us for this message, Lord, and we know that we'll meet you in heaven someday. Thank you, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we will be in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let me get set up here just a tad, just to make sure I don't leave you stranded. Okay, we're talking about the ultimate retirement, which is God's plan. I want to start with basically just a quick definition of what's retirement? What does retirement mean to people? What do people look forward to? Most people look forward to retirement. Most, when I looked it up in Webster's, basically it's the stopping of your work, typically a career, and people, they stop working at that point in time. In man's definition, basically that is we accumulate wealth during that time. We purchase items that we need. We save for homes. We save for schooling for our children. We build, we accumulate wealth through those processes. And in some cases, actually, people don't accumulate wealth. And they reach a certain age and they retire. They stop working. And what do they count on? What do they typically count on? Social Security, okay? Typically, they count on Social Security, okay? Man's retirement typically starts in around 55 to 70. At Social Security right now, I'll state right now, you can typically catch you can get a stipend, a Social Security stipend at age what? 62, okay, right now. So you can get a stipend at 62. Typically, this is to help people through the retirement phase, either to help them supplement their income. Also, I found that particularly in the workplace, a lot of people end up taking Social Security because they end up out of work, and there's no income for them. They can't get a job. They can't maintain a job. People won't hire them, so they end up having to utilize Social Security. So that typically, generally, people will then retire. What happens after retirement? What happens after we retire? Death. Okay. Well, hopefully there's a space in between. Okay. Well, that's you. He's been looking. He looked at the syllabus here, or he looked at the outlines here. He jumped down to death right away. But oops. Let me get my. Is this the forward? Okay. Starting man's, okay, we accumulate wealth, material items, and enjoy life, financial savings, and investing. Anybody get opportunities, and insurance companies will offer you opportunities to invest. Many corporations will do matching funds, not as generous as they used to do. Most of the days, I guess they'll give you maybe 2%, 4%. A lot of times, they used to give us 6% for matching. Today, it's a lot less. Employers, municipalities, unions, and the military. Military pensions are a great retirement resource for people. Unions, military, and governments have plans to assist us, okay? There's also other ways to build wealth, which is through risk-taking or inheritance, okay? What is risk-taking? Does anybody know what risk-taking? Stock market, okay? You also may be risking yourself, you know what I mean? They do flipping houses, things like that. Skill sets that you have, your own skills that people go out, particularly in retirement, they invest in those, and they invest in trying to sell those. See if I can get the next page. Okay. All right. So in the man's, we have a variety of things that are going to impact your accumulation wealth. Economic conditions. Right now, we're doing really well. Poor health. Many times, as I mentioned before, people will get in health straits, and they have to either take Social Security or disability benefits for their retirement. And in many cases, it's very limited. Unexpected costs. Okay. Those unexpected costs could be medical costs, could be cost of living, the rising cost of living. Right now, rents are extremely high. Homes are expensive for people to obtain. So they will negatively, positive or negatively impact the accumulation of wealth. Most often the wealth is built through, this is the best way to build it, is through wisdom, persistence, and discipline. What does that mean? Wisdom, persistence, and discipline. That means how can you invest, what can you afford to invest in, and being consistent about doing that. Constantly putting the money aside. I remember when Don and I were young, we started the IRA process, doing individual retirement accounts. Then I worked for an employer that had matching benefits, and we realized we could get a 6% bump, you know what I'm saying, on our investment by taking the $1,000 a year that we were saving, which you think about that doesn't really seem like a lot of money, but we were saving $1,000, excuse me, they would match us 50%, up to 6% of my income. And that, so that became $1,500. So we took opportunities to build on that wealth. So that's what I mean by when we talk about wisdom, persistence, and discipline. Discipline means you save it. What do you do with it? You leave it there. Don't go borrow it for something else. I mean, how many people took their homes in 2008, invested their homes to buy what? Travel trailers? Buy things, items of enjoyment? And where did they end up? Stock market collapsed, and where did they end up? Hurting. They ended up hurting, that's right, because their income, their investment, which was their home, was now in a motorhome that had decreased in value, and their investments are gone, and they're struggling today. Many people are struggling today with that. Let's take a look at hopefully what's a better plan, okay, which is God's plan. Everybody's included in this plan, okay? However, Scripture doesn't tell us a lot about retirement. Matter of fact, I only know of one place in Scripture, and that's found in, it's found in Numbers 8, 23 through 26. And basically, this was for the Levites. The Levites maintained the tabernacle. Now, this isn't quite the temple yet. This is the tabernacle. They maintain it. And those Levites had maintained it. They were started at age 25, and they stopped. Does anybody know what age they stopped at? 50, that's right. They stopped at age 50. Okay, they stopped working at age 50. Then David, who wanted to build the temple, and I think most of you people already know this, David who wanted to build the temple, but was denied building the temple. God wouldn't let him build it. But he was also, he looked into the future, and he realized there were going to be a need, even though there were going to be need for more workers. So David, in 1 Chronicles, he changes the age, not of the retirement. Scripture doesn't tell us it changes the retirement age. But he changed the starting age. Does anybody know what that was? To 20. He changed it to 20 years old. So he bumped it down to, so like most of us, you entered the workforce earlier, right? And you don't get out any earlier, you know what I'm saying? They worked to, but in that case, they still worked to 50, all right? So personally, I believe that God has expects us to work to our last dying breath, okay? Okay, and I don't mean maybe not physical work, but I think God expects us to do his work through our last dying breath. And that can be through a variety of things, which we'll explain later in the program. But I really believe that God expects us to stay the course, to be steadfast in the course till the end. Some examples of in the scripture that we see of... Oh, wrong button. Sorry, folks. Okay, everything's included in the plan? Okay, we'll stop right there for a minute. God's. Okay, this is... some examples of... and I'm off course, folks, so let me get back on course. Some examples of scripture where we see Noah. Noah was 600 years old when the rain came. All right, took him approximately 120 years to build the ark. God gave him that task. Do you think Noah was prepared for that task? I believe. And we went to the ark encounter. They believe that Noah was a shipbuilder. Okay. So God picked him based on a skill set he already had. Well, not just on a skill set. What was the other? What else did he have? He was a godly man. But God picked a godly man that could build the ark, and it took him 120 years to build it. We also see in Scripture, we see Abraham, okay, who was 75 years old when God picked him for his unique people. And he sent him away from his family and friends into the desert. Okay, well, we're gonna wait right there because something's not right here. I'm gonna keep going. All right. We also see that Moses accepted God's plan. Does anybody remember how old Moses was? He was 80. Okay, he accepted God's plan at 80. But we also know that what Moses was raised how? Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's court, so he probably had administrative skills. He was a talented young man. Now he's 80. Okay, but he still got the talent, and most of you'll know. When I look around, I see people who are retired, were in careers, been a long time. We still have skill sets, okay, that God can use. Moses took it at 80, and his brother took it at 83. Now, neither Moses saw the promised land. Aaron didn't see the promised land. They both died in the promised land, but they continued that task for 40 more years, approximately 40 more years. So they continued that task. All right. Those are older cases. There's also younger cases. King Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he was a good king. You'll see that in 2 Kings 18 through 20. And also Josiah was the youngest that I've seen. Does anybody know how old he was? Pardon me? Eight. Okay, he was 8 years old. But he also had what? What did he have? He had tutors. He had people that were instructing him in the Lord, but he was 8 years old when he became king, and he followed the guidance of, and that you'll find that in 2 Kings, okay? We discussed that. God's plan. Okay. All right. So the next thing is, so how do we get involved? We know how to do it from man's perspective to save for retirement. How do we become involved in God's ultimate plan for retirement? How do we become involved in that? Say that again. Well, study Scripture, know His Word, but it starts with the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I look in our group and I look across, I see people who are Christians. We're going to spend eternity together, each one of us. We're going to spend eternity together. So we already know, and I chiseled out a piece of a few minutes here, so I might be able to give you back a few minutes, for the gospel message, okay, which is basically presented see if I get this right. Yeah, the gospel message. So our eternal destination is determined, okay? And we've heard this before, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, okay? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is? Okay, and John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He gave us basically Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that's shown to us John, 1 John 5:13, and Ephesians 2:8-9 says we're saved by grace. Okay, that's what's the acronym mean? God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay, so we're given grace. Part of what stimulated this me looking into this is I really don't know. You ever wondered? Okay, Lord, you saved me. What'd you save me for? What am I to do? I mean, I used to tell Donna, you know, it'd be nice if God just saved us, and then what? We're out of here. We're gone. And the people will say, well, what happened to Gerard? Oh, that guy got saved or something. You know, he's gone. God whisked him out. God didn't leave us here just to do what? Nothing. Okay, God left us here for a reason. That's Ephesians 2:8 2:10, which says, for we are His workmanship. That's God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's our responsibility, folks. That's what we're here for. We're to do God's work. And sometimes it'd be a whole lot easier if you were just gone, if we're out of here. And, well, one less employee. Guess what? The job market probably would be pretty full. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have to worry, but they'd be trying to replace people. Unemployment probably would be down. That or there'd be less Christians. You know what I'm saying? They'd hold out and try to wait till the last minute to accept. But the other choice we have is, okay, that's the acceptance part, okay? We talked here, getting started, Ephesians 2:10. How's God prepared you for good works? I'll jump into that in a minute. But the other decision is what? You can decline that gift, okay? You can decline salvation. This is what's disturbing for me. We can decline it. Every one of us knows somebody who's declined that. Everybody in here has got people that you're praying for to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what happens to them, folks? Their eternal destination is determined, okay? And believe it or not, it's God's plan, folks. They're going to go the direction of God. And you'll see, it's not a good one. It's not a good direction that they're going to go. So they can choose their own plan, then go their own way, but ultimately, it's God's plan that we're going to follow. How's God prepared you for good works, okay? And I'm going to speak, you have it in your notes, but I'm going to speak for me personally, how God is through my family. Most of you know I come from a large family, third oldest of 14. So I obviously grew up with caretaking. It seemed like every year we got a new child come home, you know what I mean? And by the time they were usually about a year, they were passed off to us as the older boys. We had the responsibilities of raising the younger kids. Don't get me wrong, my mother was definitely involved, okay, but her job usually typically was running the household and maintaining the youngest, okay? The rest of us, we did a lot of the other things, you know, not the dinner cooking, but the breakfast and the laundry, and we did the household tasks. So we learned to be caretakers. We learned to care for people. Another thing I learned was I came with a religious heritage. In my case, it's Catholicism. And we were taught about God. Unfortunately, I feel for people today. I'm not even sure the young people are being taught about God, period. I'm not sure they even know it. At least I knew a God existed. Now, the unfortunate thing is, and where that helps me is, I'm empathetic to Catholics. I'm empathetic to their understanding. I won't say all Catholics don't understand the gospel message. They don't understand the grace through Jesus Christ. But most of it's works-based. We believed we were earning our way to heaven. My testimony is, you know, I tell people we had accumulated the rank in Catholicism of the donut getters, okay? Jeremy, we were the donut getters, okay? So we purchased the donuts and showed up for the adult Sunday school class. So we were accumulating. Our children had been baptized in the Catholic Church in one confirmation, and one made his first Holy Communion. We were following the routine until I heard that basically it was more than works, folks. It was faith through Jesus Christ. And I think most of you have heard this. My testimony was, I remember going home. I went to my brother Barry's, and there was a pastor there, gave the gospel message, and I went home and told Donna, if this guy's right, we're in big trouble. We're going the wrong direction, folks. You know, for us, we're in big trouble. And at that point, we begin the process of making a change. And I'll tell you, it's hard, especially if you're a Catholic, because your whole family is built around your religion. It's built around your religion and your associations with people. And it took us probably 2 years to extricate ourselves from the Catholic Church. And we ended up here at Northside, and we've been here, I hate to say how long, but it's been a long time. It's probably been at least 30-some-odd years, okay? Not longer than Tammy Kennedy, but it's we've been here a long time. You need to make that decision, okay, through my occupation, teaching, mentoring, okay, life skills and ministry work. I had the great opportunity to deploying new products, and in the new product deployment, I had the opportunity to teach people. I had opportunities to mentor people. And I won't even say new employees. Sometimes I was mentoring directors that didn't know the processes, and I had great opportunities to use, and God blessed me through those opportunities to do that. Even had ministry opportunities to tell people about the Lord. We had Bible study and prayer meetings in one of my locations that we met. Jerry Dupree had great opportunities in his workplace for ministry work and praying with people, and just his work alone spoke to his belief in God. Through my talents, organization, okay? Service, I got a servant's heart. That's my favorite thing is to help people. Finances, because we grew up with basically the frugal means, we've learned to be very disciplined with finances, and it's been extremely helpful for us, and I enjoy teaching. Knowledge of Scripture. One of the things is I've increased my faith in God. I've learned to assist others. I've learned peace in circumstances. Sometimes your circumstances are difficult, but you can actually have peace in those circumstances. I'll tell you, God's in control. Another thing I'll tell you, you need to learn Scripture. You know what I mean? It'll be very helpful for that. And also through my desire to help others, particularly through prayer. That's one of the things, you know, as you look at older people, and I believe that we need to continue. We can pray for people no matter how old we are, no matter what our circumstances, financial, health. We can always pray for people. We can give Christian counsel. There's many. I remember Jim and Barbara, plenty of Christian counsel for us. Dale worked a lot with people and provided Christian counsel to people. There's plenty of work that we can do in that regard. And of course, physical help. You know, many times the prayer isn't it. You're the hands that God's sent out there to help somebody through a difficult time. So one of the things about wealth, if we build godly wealth, Matthew 6 tells us, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I can tell you right now, folks, I don't care how much you have. It used to be when I was a kid, there used to be the old joke was, how much money did Rockefeller leave behind? Anybody know the answer?
All of it,
right. He left it all behind. He didn't take not one red cent with him. It's all left behind, folks. I don't care what your wealth is. All right, let's see how we're doing here through your family. Okay, I bumped through those. Getting started. This is for you individually. I've talked through those for my circumstances. I talked those two. Reaping the benefits. Man's plan. Okay, so if you took man's plan... Now, I will tell you, there's nothing wrong with man's plan. You need to plan for retirement, folks. But don't make that your sole plan, meaning just man's. You need to plan because you're going to need resources. You're going to need finances when you're retirement. I've talked to people, particularly when you talk to people, and they talk about Social Security, getting $800 to $1,000 a month. Well, when they started taking it, that was a fair bit. That's nothing today, folks. You won't get by on $800 to $1,000. $1,200 a month, that's nothing. I remember Jim Hedgepath and I were talking about Social Security, and he asked me point blank, well, what do you think you're going to get? And I told him, he goes, oh, my goodness. He said, you're going to get that much? Well, let me tell you what, folks, it isn't that much, okay? But compared to what Jim was drawing, that was a lot of money. And Jim died at 85? 83 or 85. So Jim had been retired almost 20 years. So it's not a whole lot of money because costs keep going up. So my point there is you need to have man's plan. But if you choose only man's plan, small list here, you can dip into your retirement savings or Social Security. Okay, and we talked earlier, Social Security is 62. You're going to need, with that retirement plan, you're going to need disciplined withdrawals to ensure lifetime, in other words, provisions, or supplemental income. So you're going to need that. So I believe that we as Christians need to do that so that we can continue to do God's work, God's good work, okay? Okay, reaping the benefits. Here we go. Here's the benefits of God's plan, okay? First off, once you accept Jesus Christ, your eternal destination is determined. We know that we receive the Holy Spirit, okay? God's plan begins immediate. There's no saving up to get hopefully the market conditions are good for you. So you're building, you're enjoying, you're starting to reap the benefits immediately. Some of the things that I've reaped, and I included them in here, peace of mind, okay? It was good to be able to, it's still good to be able to cast my anxieties, everything that the concerns that I have onto the Lord. The guidance of the Holy Spirit, I know that I have a helper, okay? I know that the Holy Spirit guides me. I need to look at it. Joe and Joanne had an issue with their air conditioning. they prayed, and after the prayer comes to mind a nephew, or Joe, I guess it was, a nephew. Right, anyway. So somebody that's in the air conditioning business, okay? And this the man was very helpful to them. They were getting the runaround elsewhere. But that prayer, I believe, is God's opportunity to interject. You stop and think. You stop worrying about everything that's going on. You turn it over to the Lord. You can think a whole lot better, folks, than when you're under the gun. So we see that in John 14, 6. John 14, Holy Spirit, help her. Okay, we got through that one. Okay, we see in... we have the Holy Spirit. We have the prayer to assist in comfort, okay, and wisdom. Some of you people have gone through difficult times. Some of us are going to go through difficult times. We're going to need the Lord. We're going to need that guidance. We're going to need each other to go through this time. We know that we have security in God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that it's inspired and profitable. There we are. It's inspired by God and it's profitable for us. And I don't mean monetarily profitable. It's profitable in our case for just peace of mind. Honestly, peace of mind. It's profitable for that. And it makes us adequate, equipped for what? Every good work. That's what we're talking about, for doing good works. We see in Hebrews 4:12 that God's Word is living and active. It discerns exactly what you're doing. It helps guide you into the thing. Hebrews 14:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the divisions of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thought and the intentions of the heart." God knows what our intentions are, and we'll see how that can negatively impact us in our evaluation before the Lord. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. That's the wrong page, folks. Oh, okay. So maybe I can bump through it here. All right, reaping God's benefits, securing His Word, Hebrews 4:12 and 13. Okay, reaping the benefits, God's plan. Okay, God has a plan of control. Okay. Mixed up my notes here. Okay. Okay, so now we're where Richard started. Okay, we've evaluated, we've defined retirement, man and God's. We've defined the benefits or how to build wealth in man and God's. We've defined the benefits of man and God's. And now we're at the point where we die, okay? Now we're at the point we die. So what happens when you die? This was one of the other benefits for me. A lot of times, again, what are we here for? What happens to us after we're done? You know, where do we go? What happens? So for those who selected only man's plan, okay, and prior to the rapture, that means before Jesus takes us out, okay, there's some schools of thought that people will become some other creature. They'll work their way up the line, the food chain, and they'll become some important creature, okay? Others, they'll spend eternity in their favorite spot on the golf course or in the fishing hole or something along those lines. And I've been at funerals, folks, where I've actually seen some of this. And it's disturbing when you realize these people had no idea where they're going, okay? Or the most common is there's nothing going to happen. They become worm food. You know, they're in the grave. That's it. Well, we know better. Unfortunately, these people who have not accepted Jesus Christ will default. They default to God's plan, okay? And after death, where do they go? Does anybody know where they go? Pardon me? Not quite the lake of fire, but they are tormented. Okay, they go to torment, and we see that in Luke 16, where we see the rich man and Lazarus. It's not wealth, it wasn't money that divided these two. Was their relationship with God? The rich man depended on his wealth. Now you can still be wealthy and depend on God. There are many good Christians that are out there that are that way. but the rich man depended on his wealth and the poor man depended on God. So the rich man is in torment and Lazarus is in comfort in Abraham's bosom, okay? If after the rapture, so in other words, if the person that selected only God's plan dies after the rapture, because what happens at the rapture? All Christians are taken out, okay? If they die after the rapture and haven't accepted Jesus Christ, okay, then they go to the great white throne judgment, okay, and it determines their degree of punishment where they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire, okay? They spend eternity in the lake of fire. So those who die before the rapture will go to a place of torment. After the rapture, that means that's at that time. Then they'll be judged by Jesus Christ and they'll end up in the lake of fire, okay? Because after the rapture, this group, this that only selected man, they'll remain in the tribulation period, okay? So if the rapture takes place, they stay here, all right? And all unbelievers will die prior to the millennium. Why? Does anybody know? Why do all unbelievers die prior to the millennium? Because only God, the millennium is for God's, for believers at that point. So, okay, I'll pick up that in a minute, all right? Those of us accepted Jesus Christ, all right, and we basically will go to join Jesus one or two ways, either in death, or in the rapture, okay? We'll go to be with Jesus Christ, all right? And we'll be comforted with Jesus Christ. I need you to turn to Scripture, 1 Corinthians. I need to turn to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm going to read 10 through 15, okay? So what happens here is we go to be with Christ, but we're going to be evaluated on our works, okay? We're going to be evaluated on our works. All right, we're going to be evaluated on our works. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, verses, let me catch up to you, verses 10 through 15. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. What that scripture is telling us is, you may have done good works. They may not have been for the Lord. We need to be doing works, not that you can't do works for other than God, but we need to focus our good works for the Lord. Those that aren't done for the Lord, wood, hay, and straw, they're gone. They're going to be burned up. What I like to stress to people is, this is not your salvation. This is not our eternal destination. Once you accept Jesus Christ, it's heaven, okay? But this is a place of reward. Now, I will tell you, I don't understand all the concept of rewards, but I know Scripture tells us that God will reward us for doing good works, and we need to work to do those good works. We need to learn to recognize those good works. We did a study on rewards, and there's a variety of rewards that are available, and I'm not going to go into that today because of time. So what I would say, also 2 Corinthians 2, verses 5 and 10 supports this, basically, that our works are going to be judged by, who's judging our works? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to judge our works. All right. So when our work is done, so we're judged on our works, okay, we're still not done, okay, we still got more work to do, we get to join Jesus Christ and other believers in the millennium. That's a 1,000-year reign where we have the opportunity to influence others for Jesus Christ. Our salvation is never in question. We have that opportunity. at the end of the millennium, then we go on to the New Jerusalem, okay, and we have an opportunity to enjoy the delights that God has provided for us in eternity. Okay, so based on the choices where you have just man's, okay. Dan, am I missing a page or something? Okay, I'm going to leave that there. Based on the choices that you've seen, you've all chosen. I can see out there. You people have chosen Jesus Christ. Now we need to choose, how do we do good works? How do we point other people to God through our good works? Again, God didn't just put us here to do nothing. We have responsibilities. So what I like to stress is verse 10 again, for we are his workmanship, that's God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, okay, which God prepared beforehand so that we would, not should, but that we would take an active part in doing these, all right? So what I'd recommend is look for the good works, okay, that God has prepared you for, and do them,